Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
There's a couple of verses I would like to read to us this morning, very famous verses, found in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. And it's really interesting that Ellen Seals spoke many of these things at the prayer meeting on Friday morning, and I thought it was quite remarkable. God does that all the time, doesn't he? So Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Really, God laid a subject on my heart for today. And actually, last year, when I was preparing for 2023, I just felt that God just dropped something in my heart as long ago as a year ago, and brought it back to my remembrance. Obviously, some of the things I'd written down that I felt he wanted me to speak on. And what I want to speak about today is that we believe for God's more in 2024. Believing for God's more in 2024. As a church, we do a thing called LEAD, or Leadership School, once a month. So it's usually on the third Wednesday of the month. And during that time, we've looked at a lot of different teachings from some of the best leadership gurus, teachers in the world. So we've utilized stuff from the Global Leadership Summit. We've utilized Chris Hodges, Craig Rochelle. We've used stuff from Elevation Church. And John Maxwell, of course, who many of us regard as one of the best leadership communicators in the world. And by the way, we're about to start Beyond Success again, and there's already people signed up for that. If you're interested in doing that at the beginning in January, sorry, later on in January, and going through Beyond Success, it'll help you in your daily walks. There was an email sent out about that. It's not too late to sign up for that. And so our format in these meetings is we'll watch a DVD, and now we do it over Zoom, and there's about 20 people sign in, maybe just over 20 sometimes, and then we discuss that based on our own questions, and we learn from collective wisdom, because we've all got something to bring to the table, and so we reinforce it and then learn from one another. And a few months ago, I was talking to Neil Cameron and Ian Duthie, and AOG leaders in Scotland, and we're talking about getting some stuff for our leaders in Scotland, and Neil had a couple of contacts, and so he got a couple of DVDs for us, YouTubes, and one of them was from a guy called Andrew Cherry. And we watched that the last time, and it was 18 lessons on how to be an attractive leader. And then the first three questions that we looked at afterwards were actually questions that Andrew himself had prepared. And the first one was, of the 18 principles shared, which three come easiest to you? And then the second one was, which three are more difficult for you? And then the third one, as leaders, which of these things are the most important to you today that you would feel the need to teach? And what was really interesting in that last one was what members of our core team said were the things that they found the most challenging, and what I actually felt was one of the things that we needed to teach, and that was about taking more risks. So it was quite interesting that I've already pre-prepared my answers, because I've made up the other questions, and taking more risks, the need to take more risks is something I feel we need to share, and members of our core team are feeling that's something that we need to take on board. And so this believing for God's more in 2024 involves, of course, taking risks. If we're going to go for more, there are risks and challenges in that. And I'm also aware that there's a flip side to that, that we can do things wrongly. And I remember reading a book many, many years ago called The Man Who Could Do No Wrong. And basically, this church leader, through God's grace, had built a great big church in America. And the church was going great. And they saw, he had this vision for building a hospital to help people and to provide really good Christian care and a real good set of values and culture within his hospital. And so to raise the funds for that, they set about issuing bonds. And so people would buy the bonds and get a certain rate of interest from the bonds. And the money from that would build the hospital. And but sadly, there was a huge time of recession. And people wanted their money back from the bonds. And inflation had risen as well. And you probably all know, but if you didn't, let me just give you this comforting thought. That if all of us banked with the local bank down the road in Stenhouse Muir, there still is one, and you went to get your money out tomorrow morning, you probably wouldn't all get it. That's comforting, isn't it? Because the banks only keep a percentage of money, and they've also got another percentage of money, what they call money call on short notice. And so everybody went, a lot of people wanted their bonds back at the same time. And of course, the whole venue went pear-shaped. And so the guy then had a moment of reflection as to why did this go wrong? It was a great vision. It was a great thing to build this hospital to help people. It was an inspiring thing to do. And why did it all go pear-shaped? And what I remember from that incident was that he reasoned that he put faith in faith rather than faith in God. And it was just like a blind kind of faith. It wasn't, he hadn't actually heard from God. And it's so important that when we do things that we actually hear from God first of all. Because when God says it, God accomplishes, doesn't he? Then the setbacks become comebacks. Some people in the Bible ended up doing some pretty strange things, but they heard from God. I mean, imagine being Noah and God telling you to build a boat. And it takes 120 years to build it. And he tells you that rain's going to come and there's never been any rain. That would blow your mind, would it? I would be pretty amazed at that God asked me to do something like that. And yet, that's by faith, the Bible says he did it. Or Abraham, God told him that he wanted to test them by asking him to sacrifice Isaac. Of course, God doesn't believe in child sacrifice. And God was testing Abraham, and Abraham, of course, never had to sacrifice his child. There was a ram caught in the thicket. Or the priests being told to take a step into the Jordan River, which was at full spate. It was at flood time. and they've got to take that step of faith, and when they stand in the river, then the Jordan parts as they go into the promised land. Or marching around Jericho, once for every day for 6 days and then seven times on the last day. I mean, and keep their mouth shut as they do it. I mean, that would be hard, wouldn't it? I don't know what would be hardest. I think it would be keeping your mouth shut rather than just marching around the walls of Jericho. I mean, you'd be thinking to yourself, what's all this about like? You're like, is he daft? Is he crazy? People don't do stuff like that. Why walking around these walls like, and then, seven times today? it's a bit crazy. And yet that's what he did, and the walls fell down. Or Elijah on Mount Carmel. And he's making that challenge. Choose this day, like, make your choice. If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. And the God who answers by fire, he's the God. And before he expects God to answer by fire, in a time of flood, he takes water and pours it on a sacrifice. That's how to light a fire, isn't it? You all there? Yeah. Nice to have to light the fire in the morning. One of my jobs when I got up, when I was at secondary school, was to light the fire. Take out the old ash, put in the paper, the newspaper, put in the kindling, put the coal or the peat on top of that, and light the fire. Never ever put water on top of it. Never, ever. That wasn't a part of the MO of doing that. But it's so important we hear from God. Because if we get things wrong and we don't hear from God and we involve other people in it, we can blow our testimony, undermine our credibility, lose money, waste resources, waste other people's money, bring God's name into disrepute, waste people's time, undermine confidence, etc. But there's also the flip side, that there's challenges if we don't take the risks, if we don't do it, if we don't step out for God's more in 2024. But when we do hear from God, great blessings ensue. I think of Peter walking in water, and he stepped out of the boat to walk on water, and he literally walked in water, but before that he said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you." And Jesus said, "Come." And he came. And did he walk on water or did he walk in the Word? It's a great question, isn't it? I believe he walked in both. He heard the Word of God and he walked out and stepped out in faith. So I want us to think today about stepping out of our comfort zones to believe for God's more in 2024. Because I certainly want God's more in 2024. And just by personal stories, just by insight, it's just... As I look back over my own life and our lives together as a married couple, I see that God is, at times that God has challenged us to step out and trust Him for more. And a couple of weeks ago, I shared a story of how God called us to go to Bible college, and we left the Northeast and traveled 400-odd miles down to Mattersea with two children, stepping out in faith, having to get a home and different things to come together there. And it was all part of the miracle story, and we've only ever told part of it, I'm sure, on a grant of £80 a week. It was a big challenge. And then when it came to the summer holidays at the end of the first year, and wondered what I would do to get some income. And so I wrote to my old boss and asked him if he had a job for me during the summer. And my boss said, "That's great." He says, "That's wonderful." He says, "Yes, come along and I'll pay you this." And when I looked at what he was paying me, it was 25% less than what he was paying me before I went to Bible college. And that's a year later. And either he found out what I was really worth, or else he sees a reason that I didn't have to pay any income tax. And I was mad. I was really annoyed. And so out of the blue, Diane's dad phoned. And he said, "Alec and him," that's his brother-in-law, "they've got a trawler between them." They said they were talking, and they're looking for an extra man in the summer to go on the trawler with them. And of course, I've never been to sea in my life. I worked in a bank, I worked in industry, I worked ashore, drove taxis, drove coaches part-time. But going to sea is a total... But I was so mad at my boss that I said yes, and went to sea. So I remember the guys that he used to work with see me with my working togs on. They're laughing at me going away to sea. I mean, I'm not Mike Perry. I'm not been a sea person all my days. And so we go out to sea, and we left the back of Sunday, traveled, I think, about 4 hours out, sailed about 4 hours out, and then put the net over the side, and then about 7:30 in the morning, 8 o'clock, we hauled the first catch of fish. And the skipper of the Gerlednas on the tannoy, and Diane's dad puts it on, he said, "That's Edwin asking how you're getting on." And I said, "Tell him I'm still standing," and then it happened. And somebody told me that one of the best things you could do when you're not well with sick is to eat. So I'd mentioned tatties, and then they accused me of sandblast on the deck, It wasn't very good. I said I was sick twice, the first 3 weeks and the second 3 weeks. But when I went to sea then, it was a bad day. It was really rough. And Dan's brother had just bought a boat, and I think it was a bigger boat. And so Jim stayed out a bit longer than he would normally stay out. And I remember the net coming in and down here and looking up, and the sea's about 20 feet above you. And then coming down, standing up here, and then looking down, and he sees about 20 feet below you. And when the boat's going through the water, you just hear the whir of the propeller and thud again. Well, we had to come in because it was such bad weather. And I was saying to Dan, "What am I going to do? Like, if I don't go to see it, I'm not going to have any income." And so I remember reading through the book of James, and it speaks about perseverance under trial. And so I decided to go back. And the car, we drove off and picked up the other crew members in the village as we were going back out. And they said, "You look like a man condemned to the gallows." Like, because I was ashen-faced, knowing what you're going out to, knowing to be sick. And, And yet, God helped me. I was joking. I wasn't sick all the 3 weeks, but sessions. But it was God really helped me, and that was well out with my comfort zone. There's lots of things that God taught me in that, and going to Africa, and going out the back at Kenya to the bush, and traveling out with Maasai. We'd bought bicycles. We'd taken an offering for bicycles for evangelists, and going out to the bush and crossing over this bridge, and Maasai said, "This is where the snakes come to hunt at night." I hate snakes. Absolutely hate snakes. I fear of snakes. I probably watched too many cowboys when I was a kid, and there was always a rattlesnake bit somebody. So I didn't like snakes. So we cross over and arrive there, and I'm going to be the speaker for the week, and we're out delivering these bicycles, and I'm going to come back, and they said, "Welcome to Shimba Hills and the wildlife." And I said, "Do you get much wildlife around here?" Like, and this woman says that she was in a toilet, which, by the way, is just a hut in the top of an anthill with a hole in the ground. And she says, "And I looked up, and there was a green mamba staring me in the face." I mean, it's like, how to inspire you. That's actually a snake came into my lecture one day. When a moment when I was speaking about divine opportunities, a snake came in. It's another story for another day. And I remember being out in Laos with Andrew. And just before, he says, "Tomorrow," or Wednesday, whatever it was, he says, "we're going to harvest fish eggs." And you go into the pond, and the eggs come out the fish's mouth, and you just kind of gently squeeze the fish, and it puts the eggs out. And I'm glad I had that experience. It was remarkable. Dan and I were in there, and Stephen and Pat, and it was really good. But I've got really, my if you tickled my feet, I would go crazy, like, you know. I had my flip-flops on, and you go into the water, and it's mud. The snails in the water, and you think, what else is going around this water? And so, but I've done the experience, and so I could go on with experiences. It's well out with my comfort zone, but Michelle said at communion, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And when God speaks to us, He takes us outside our comfort zone, and we look back not only at these life experiences that I've given and mission experiences, but all experiences, ministry experiences in life. I don't know it all, but are things that I believe that we can do. But if we don't do it, we miss out. And in Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, he says, "There's a tide in the affairs of men, which taken at the flood leads on to fortune. Omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in miseries. On such a full sea are we now afloat, and we must take the current when it serves, or lose our ventures." And Winston Churchill would quote that verse and inspire his people as he led people through war. And you can see in that it's possible to miss out if you don't catch that tide, if you don't take that opportunity. Why is it so many people later on in life say that that I wish I'd taken more risks? I says to Diane, "If I'm well and spared at my age of 90, we're going on a cruise." I thought somebody would be blessed to hear that. Too much roast beef and unbelief. "Oh no, you haven't had your roast beef yet." Like, but you know, what kind of vision, what kind of dreams have we got? I want God's more in 2024. So here are some things that I believe that can help us to be people who receive God's more and experience God's more in 2024. Number one, be a person of faith all your life. Hebrews, of course, is a great roll call of faith. And a great verse in Hebrews 11 and 13 says, "All these people were still living by faith when they died." And that's a great thing to say, that they were living by faith when they died. And I was telling the first service about an experience I had a few years ago, when I went to visit three people that were in their 90s, Jean McIntyre, Helen's mum, and Ron Hayton, a pastor who had pastored up to the age of 89, and a lady called Mardina from the Free Church. And how every single one of these people inspired me. They were 92 or 93. And Jean McIntyre in her prayer life inspired me. And every time you went to see her, she would input something to you. You went to input to her, and she would input to you. And she was such a woman of faith. in 92 or 93, I can't remember what age, but it was either or. And Ron Hayton, at the age of 89, he pastored that church, and now he was retired, but he was saying, I'm believing God for words of knowledge. And I thought, I want to be like that. You don't want to be like that. Do you want to just sit and vegetate, or do you want to be somebody that God will pour his life and his blessing into your life? And Merdina, a lady who was partially blind, she lived in a care home in Milton Acamsey, and would go out and visit her with a member of the congregation. And her mind was as sharp as a tack, and she knew all that was going on in the news. She'd gone through revival in the 1930s, the earlier revival in Lewis, when there was lots of miracles and stuff like that. Were they born in a vintage year? Was there something special about the year they were born? Or were they living by faith, like the Bible says? And so if we want to experience God's more in 2024, we've got to be people of faith. We've got to be people who take on board what God said and say, yes, Lord, I believe it. I'm going to do it. By your grace, I'm going to say yes to you, like Mary did, like we were speaking about at the Christmas time, and do exactly what he asks us to do. And I mean, we can be all kinds of people. The Bible speaks about lots of different situations that we could be going through life. Barnabas was a son of encouragement. John was a burning and shining light. Abraham was a man of faith. And there's all different ways in which we could live our lives, all different things that we could do in our lives. But the question is, are we people of faith? And will we pass on a legacy of faith? Are we living by faith in our homes? Are our children picking up something in faith? Are our workmates, our colleagues, are they picking up something? Are we living by faith? And I grew up in a village called Newport Sligo for the first 11 years, 10 years of my life. And there was an ice cream shop there that had the best ice cream I've ever tasted in my life. And it was really good ice cream. And you know, the sad thing is, it's when these people died, the recipe was not handed on, and I've never tasted that ice cream ever since. And it's never been made since. It's certainly in Aberdeenshire, where I grew up. Because when they died, the recipe died with them. But if we are people who live by faith, we can live by faith, and we can inspire something to the next generation. And we can be like Timothy's mom and his gran, who the faith first lived in them, and Paul says, and I am persuaded lives in you. That we would be people who live by faith. Can we go on that journey of faith with Jesus and do all that God asks us to do in 2024? The second thing is to be obedient. The Bible's got so many things to say about obedience. And Abraham, as I've already mentioned, was one of these guys that is like an example for us in obedience. And what Mary says, whatever he says unto you, do it. Will we be people who say yes when God tells us to do stuff? Obedience is an expression of our love for God. If you love me, Jesus says, you will obey what I command in John 14 and 15. And so are we going to obey him? Whenever he says, go. Whenever he says, do. Whenever he says, phone somebody. Like, whatever we're going to do, are we going to be people? Serve, are we going to serve? Are we going to give? Let's take giving as an example. You know, money is a rival to God for our worship. And it's an ongoing battle. Will I give to God? Will I do what God wants me to do? Is money going to be my master? Or is it going to be something I will use for the glory of God and the kingdom of God? Dan and I tithed before we were married. As an individual, God showed Diane, that's what you should do, and showed me, that's what I should do. So tithing is a principle in the Old Testament. It's carried forward to the New Testament. It's a principle of giving 10% to the work of God. And we've done that all our life, all our married life. Taught our kids to tithe as well. Done it exactly the same. And at our age now, we would look back over our life and we would say, God has done more with our 90% than we could have done with our 100%. God's blessed us in so many ways, and I've only ever met one person who has said to me that they were unhappy in tithing themselves when they started to practice it. They felt that it didn't work out for them, and I would say a lot of it had to do with their attitude. But in Malachi chapter 3, God says, if we do that, and it's one of the, it's the only thing, as far as I know, that God says, prove me in this and test me and see if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you can't contain. And so, as we've done that in our lives, we've found that God's blessing has been there for us all through our married life. To this point in our life today, we've found that God is the God of the so much more, that he's given us more. As we've poured in, as we've obeyed him, he's done that. For more than 10 years, we had a set target that we wanted to put into the building fund and found church. And we've continued to do that over the years. But we're believing that we're going to come a day, and we'd invite you to do the same. But at this moment, and we did that a few years ago, but at this moment in time, I'm believing Stephen's prayer that we're going to get a building. And so we're also putting aside money that when that day comes and we've that offering that we're going to have a love offering here in the church for that building, that we'll have money there ready for it. It's if it was going to happen tomorrow, we've got a large part of it ready to put in tomorrow if it's going to happen tomorrow, as well as what we put in every month. And so God can challenge us to do different things in relation to our giving, but you'll never ever outgive God. We've proved that in our lives. It's our story. And we've proved God in our lives. Through Bible college in 3 years, starting here where the church was small, God has blessed us as we've been faithful in that area. The third thing I would say is be hungry. You know, I've chatted with a number of people recently about discipleship. There's a few different ways in which we try to disciple people. That little bit just now on giving is part of, is discipling. Like, talking about prayer is discipling. When we minister, it's discipling. When we meet in our life groups, it's discipling. When we meet and lead, it's discipling. And we're talking about discipling. But you know, one of the keys to growing as a Christian is to be hungry. The Bible says if we're hungry, that we'll get filled. And God wants to fill us with these good things. And I've been talking to different pastors, Sandy Jimison a few weeks ago, and we're going to be looking at the book of Daniel very soon. And looking and thinking about the book of Daniel, I was amazed that in one of the chapters it says that Daniel had an experience and others were with him, but they didn't experience what he experienced. And I thought to myself, why did Daniel see this that they didn't see? And I think he's hungry. And I think when hungry, when I was a young Christian, I used to go to everything that I could go to so that I would learn to grow. So I went to the Bible study. I went to the prayer meeting. I was Sunday school superintendent, did lots of things. I used to go to the Friday night Bible reading, which was a throwback to Brethren days, because a lot of people in the assembly in Fraserburgh were saved out of the, were saved, grew up in the Brethren, had an experience of the Holy Spirit, and then ended up in the Pentecostal church in Fraserburgh. And these older guys used to have a reading meeting, and I used to go and pump them with questions, because I was hungry. And I'll tell you, if we're hungry in 2024, we'll get God's more in 2024. And then praying is so important. Ellen mentioned this verse, and it was down in my notes. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. James 4:23. I'll tell you, friends, we need to be people of prayer. God's people need to be people of prayer. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of God, the Lord of hosts. If we want to see God do something in Found Church even greater in 2024, it begins with your personal prayers and also with our corporate prayers. God will do amazing things when we pray. And the band can come now. One of the great prayers in the Bible is the prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4 and 9 to 10. And Jabez said a lot of things, and I haven't even gone through half of my message that I had here, but one of the things that he prayed for is enlargement. And he said, enlarge my territory. And a few months ago, I was traveling up the Moss Road, and I felt that God says to me, draw a bigger circle. And I felt that he was saying to me that in my life, I need to draw a bigger circle. And I believe he's saying it to us here this morning. And a circle of influence. A circle of enlargement, a circle of dreams and visions. And at a prayer meeting on Friday morning, as we were praying, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, make room for me. And so when it was my turn to lead the section, I said, I just feel at this moment in time that we should wait on God. So we waited on God, and then it says, whatever God says to us, let's share what we shared. So as a few of us shared, and what I shared was, God says, like you've made room for me in this meeting, you need to make more room for me inside your heart. And so I shared that with the church, that we need to make more room within our hearts. You see, many people live at the level of their emotional life, and which means that they're up one minute, down the next, up one minute, down the next. But in Psalm 42, the psalmist says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God." And what's happening is, there's something going on with his inner life that's bigger than what's going on in his outer life. And because of that largeness within his soul, he's able to cope with, and he's able to say, like we said in the song earlier on, like, "You've got a lion within. Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy in me. Lift up your voice. You've got a lion inside of your heart. Start, get up and praise the Lord." And it's that speaking to our emotional life. It's our inner being. And so we need to enlarge our inner being. And prayer is a big part of that. How we pray. And so God spoke to me about drawing his bigger circle, and I say that to us today. And God said something else to me and about Joseph. Joseph had two dreams. And he had a dream about his brothers and sisters bowing down to him, and the brothers bowing down to him in the sheaves. But he had also a dream, and he saw stars in the sky, and the moon and the stars bowing down, and that was his parents as well. But it's this thought that Joseph had another dream. And there's people here today, and you may be watching online too, and God said, it's time you dreamed again. It's time you dreamed. Don't be stuck where you're at. Like, it's time to dream again. So you've had a dream. And the dream might be 30 years ago, or 40 years ago, or 50 years ago, or even 5 years ago. But I believe that God's stirring up our hearts today. Can we dream again, church? Can we dream again? What's God going to say into my heart and my life for his more for 2024? In the UCB, it said a few weeks ago, there is only one way to keep growing. Make your goal a step beyond what makes you comfortable. That will force you to keep growing, and it will set you up to believe God for greater things. Most people want their lives to keep improving, yet they value peace and stability at the same time. They forget that you can't improve and stay the same. Growth means change, and that means challenging the status quo. Thinking possible means that you can't settle for what you have now. There will always be people around you who want you to give up your dream and embrace the status quo. Love them, but don't be led by them. As you begin to believe God for greater things, and others try to throw cold water on you, remember that right now, as you read this page, or as you're listening to it, other people around the world are thinking about curing cancer, developing new energy sources, feeding the hungry, improving the quality of life, winning whole nations for Christ. They are beating the odds and challenging the status quo, and so must you. I love that. I love that. Henry Curtis says, "Make your plans as fantastic as you like, because 25 years from now, they will seem mediocre. Make your plans 10 times as great as you first planned, and 25 years from now, you'll wonder why you did not make them 50 times as great." Can we dream again? Can we believe for God's more in 2024? So much more that we could say into this. But I want God's more in 2024. I want God's more all my life. That's why I want to dream that if I'm well and spared and I'm at the age of 90, Sister Dan, let's believe it will go on a cruise for my 90th birthday. Let's believe that. Let's dream. Let's have a vision for our future. Let's believe for all the things that God... I tell you, we don't want to be people who are winding down. We want to be winding up, don't we? We want to be keeping on in the things of God. And our last season might have finished and something new might be happening, but God's got something new for us. Something wonderful. Wonderful. The future is bright in God. And so I encourage us, church, this morning. I believe that's a word from God for Found Church in 2024. It's God's more in 2024. Can you say with me, I want God's more in 2024? Can we say it? I want God's more in 2024. And Father, I pray today that we will be people who will experience your more this year. than whatever you say to us. We thank you that we've got life stories to tell of how you helped us overcome fears, challenges, difficulties, all the different things in life. And we stories to tell that we did it with your strength, and we give you glory for helping us through different things in our life. Thank you that you've been faithful through all the seasons of our life. Thank you that you've helped us. Thank you that you've given us dreams, Lord. Dreams for our building, dreams for our future. Dreams, Lord, for our life together. Dreams for all the things. And Lord, Lord, we want to be hearing your voice speaking to us. Will you birth something in our hearts today? For those of us who are working with children, help us to inspire dreams in the lives of children. Working with young people to inspire dreams in the life of young people. For the young people here today, help them to dream big dreams, Lord, and go on to do amazing things for you. For those, Lord, who have lost their way, and Lord, are not dreaming like they once did, I pray today, Lord, that they will dream a new dream. That they'll offer themselves up to you, Father, as living sacrifices to love you and serve you. I believe there's doors that you want to open that have hitherto been closed, Lord. And Lord, the challenge, I believe, in that is to be faithful in small things, and you'll open up the big things, Lord. I believe that with all my heart, Lord, that you want to challenge us and inspire us today. And I pray that we will embrace your call for our lives.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.